Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
It's the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, and it's
Party Friday.
Party Friday. You guessed it. Almost every day is Party Friday. Seems like
well,
Party Friday,
but
it's Friday or not. But it is Party Friday, and we're going to have a great show. Julie, who we got?
Yeah,
coming?
We got coming up as soon as we get him on the line, Patrick Neville, minority leader. A lot to talk about. The Colorado legislative session finally wrapped up. And shocker, shocker, you're going to be paying more taxes, even though we have Tabor. So we'll get Patrick to explain all of that. At 3:30, we're going to have Tim McCormick on. He's the GOP candidate running for district attorney's office in Adams County, which is where we live. And one of the things, I've said this before, and I'd like to do it again, is go ahead and let everybody know, if you're a candidate, we'd love to have you on our show, Republican or Democrat, but we'd love to have you on our show. Contact me through Facebook, or if you know how to get me. But anyway, so we'll talk to Tim McCormick. Actually, it's a really timely kind of interview, given all the stuff that's going on with the defund the police and stuff. Another shocker again here too, inter-Republican Party squabble going on. We're going to talk about that. And then
the establishment's back at it. If they can destroy whatever Republican Party is, they will do it. So who is they?
That's right.
That is always the question. If you know, please call.
Yeah.
Because no matter who I ask, you know, no matter how well the people know, they don't know. It's an amazing thing. It's something mysterious.
The other thing we'll talk about is, this is a mask-free zone. I'm declaring our house a mask-free zone.
Yes. Except for Tiger.
Except for Tiger. Tiger, she was sleeping in the background the other day. Today she's over there. So the AMC movie theater, finally they're reopening. As you can imagine, movie theater has been devastated by this.
I want to know, like, if you are a Republican, you get these things from the caucus room. Who pays for that? Who's behind
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting thing.
Who are the magical forces behind that? Who are the magical forces behind Colorado politics? Who are the magical forces around everything that's done? Is it no one? Is it no one who knows? Is it just,
I know.
Why are people attacked endlessly in Colorado politics who are grassroots conservative? Whether it's Dave Williams, whether it's Casper Stockholm, it doesn't matter. But you get wonderful puff pieces on Both Ways Bob. Who is running everything in the Republican Party? And why are they always trying to destroy us?
Yeah.
And who is that? Patrick's with us.
Okay.
I can read that. Patrick, thanks
for
trying.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so wanted to start off, legislative session ended. And
Thank goodness.
They got, maybe just
give us you're able to hold it down to $4.2 billion, according to Colorado Citizen Press, our sponsor we forgot to give credit to. Not bad, a mere $4.2 billion in tax and fee hikes. And I'm sure you had to work hard to keep it to that.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, what they basically started off the, since we came back, they said, oh, guys, everything's going to be fast, friendly, and free. There's going to be nothing controversial. And they kind of lulled everyone into thinking that was going to be the case, at least for the first week, if not 2 weeks. And then the last week they said, oh, I like this.
Yes.
No one is actually coming out to testify. There's no pushback. Let's ram everything through.
Yeah.
That final week, I'm just still trying to comprehend of what they actually passed through the session. And, you know, we were fighting back like crazy. And I was on, like, you know, very minimal sleep the whole time. And you know, the caucus did a great job fighting back, but again, we don't have the numbers. But just looking back at what they did, it's awful.
Right. Well, talk about some of the most awful things. So Coloradans know what to expect when they're like, wait a minute, I thought it was a short, free, friendly, fast legislative session.
It was a fast one.
Right. I mean, they basically, like, took every ability they could to sweep any sort of cash fund. So if you pay the fee when you go into something, they took that fee and put it towards something else.
Right.
In the budget. They added a tax to your health insurance plan. So,
right.
I mean, this boggles my mind. We have an office. The governor has an office on saving people money on health care. Mm. that I paid for with taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And then we just taxed health insurance plans to save people money on health care.
Like, in line with President Obama. Yeah, Professor Obama has saved everybody $2,500.
You can keep your doctor.
And saved you $2,500. So even though it added tens of thousands, it saved you. You know,
did the office to save you money on healthcare weigh in on the fact that they were going to charge us more for healthcare? I mean, they didn't. Nobody.
No, they didn't. And then worse was that they had this bill, like House Bill 1420. It was a terrible bill. It came through the House. It like basically decoupled all sorts of tax exemptions business can take. The Senate, like, so, you know, kind of neutered it. And then my disappointment is all the chambers were like, oh, well, we don't really care about this bill anymore. You know, it's not a big deal for us anymore. But what they basically did is they said, anyone who took advantage of CARES dollars, the CARES dollars are now taxed.
So what? Wait, let me see.
Actually affected by the COVID shutdown, all the dollars they received from the federal government are taxed by Colorado now.
And they still have tax dollars. Thank God.
They don't have social security numbers. So non-citizens. People who are hurt and applied for CARES dollars to pay for earned income tax credits for non-citizens. It's crazy. And the fact that, the chambers were like, oh, no big deal. Okay, we got everything we wanted.
If you're a business and you were on the verge of bankruptcy, so you applied for CARES dollars, you got CARES dollars, which you have to pay back, right? So now,
how do you tax a loan?
Yeah, exactly. So they're taxing that. You're
taxing a loan?
I'm sorry, you guys cut out, but yeah, I mean, essentially, anything that was applied for CARES dollars is now going to be taxed at the state level.
But how can you tax the loan?
And all that money is going towards paying the earned income tax credit for people without social security numbers.
Right. So that seems like a good. So how are they? I'd like, because I think there is, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Theoretically, they're not supposed to be able to do this because of Tabor. But at this point, from what I understand, somebody, I think it was the Colorado Rising Action folks, put out a thing saying, like, almost 70% of the stuff that goes on in Colorado, they've now exempted from Tabor. So Tabor applies to like $3 or something like that.
Enterprise zones.
How can they do that? And what do you think? And what do you think about the ballot initiative that's being floated around out there that would require them to ask voters for fees now? Would they just call them FOES or something like that, or FUMS or something?
Well, it's a huge number of fees, though. It's not their, you know, you have right. to be.
But so what, yeah, what do you think about all of that?
Yeah, so sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you. You're breaking in and out, but, you know, I think, you know, in terms of the ballot initiatives, there's tons of other ballot initiatives. Like I said this whole time, to say the Democrats spent like drunken sailors is an insult to drunken sailors.
Yeah.
It just wasn't correct, and they did. And so now they're beyond what they actually passed to circumvent Tabor. They added even more stuff that's going to be on the ballot. So they want to take away the, your Gallagher rebate rate, your reassessment on that.
Right.
There's so many things that they want to do, and they, you know, the tobacco tax, and it's for the children, we're going to do this. It's really, really disturbing. I mean, I just look back at the last week and what they were able to accomplish in this last week, and it's really sad, and the media is ignoring it, everyone's ignoring it. It was fine and dandy. It was a quick.
Let me ask you this. This is from, you know, the conservative Colorado politics owned by Phil Anschutz. Legislature made strides for the most vulnerable. Considering the daunting budgetary and deadline challenges got faced, they've come through for us.
Well, us being Phil Anschutz, right? The billionaires and the Colorado Conservatives.
Say, do you know who, every day I get endless emails from Caucus Room. And the latest one was a great one about in my neighborhood, right? And so I got endless things from Steve House. Steve House this, Steve House that, Steve House everything else. Not so much from Casper Stockholm, who's actually the Republican running in my district.
In our neighborhood,
because that's not allowed, because they've trashed Casper Stockholm in a hit piece. And so who funds Caucus Room?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, it's Matt Kneedler, and he's supposedly linked to.
He doesn't fund anything. He's a worker bee, and same
he's
with.
He's a worker bee, but he sat down with me and basically told me that I need to be quiet and you know, do the right thing. Oh. He had a group of folks that were, you know, multimillionaires, if not billionaires, that were beholden to him. And, you know, he went off the, you know, he basically threatened me. That was my, like, first, like, gosh, I want to say, like, my first 30 days in leadership. Mm. I had that meeting with him.
That seems
and
like
he
sort
hasn't
of like,
met with me since. So.
Well, yeah, nor have you kept quiet. That seems somewhat like extortion or threats or something. You would think that you're in leadership. Matt Needler would be saying to you, you know, Matt Needler is, he's like a bundler for the rich guys, right? He would be saying, you know, hey, Patrick, what do you need? How can we help you? I know we don't have the majority here, but we want to try to do what we can. That should have been the conversation he had instead of telling you, shut up, don't say anything. And if you do, you'll be sorry.
Yeah, and essentially that's what happened. I mean, it was, oh gosh, if you don't talk about this organization, I have these people that, you know, I represent, but no one needs to know about them. Mm. We want to maintain their secrecy, but they can help you out if you do the right things. Mm. I don't play that way. So.
No. Well, what were the right things? Or do they just call you if you do the wrong things? Or how does one know what the right things were that they wanted you to be quiet to do?
Well, they don't even tell you.
Oh.
And, you know, then the next thing you
need
know.
To like, know. It's a need to know. Need to know basis. And you didn't need
and
to
that,
know.
That's kind of what tells you you didn't do the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. So Matt Needler and Kelly Maher, and I really like Kelly Maher, but she's a warrior.
The next one of us, Chuck.
Yeah, okay, I understand. But she's a warrior for the establishment, right? I mean, she's not a millionaire.
Well, she's paid
or a billionaire.
By the establishment.
Well, she has to work for a living. I mean, she's not independently wealthy. She has to work for a living. So she's working on Caucus Room. People are paying her to work for Caucus Room. And it's Matt Needler's multimillionaires. Why does multimillionaires seem doubtful? Why is it maybe just one multimillionaire? Does one guess that who has Matt Needler worked for his entire legal career almost? Who is that individual? Tell us.
Do you know?
Yes.
Oh. Well, tell us. Don't put Patrick on.
Yeah, you tell me, Chuck.
Yeah, because Patrick's got his...
Matt Needler tells me he represents several people who have the same values.
Who do you think?
Oh, I know who it is.
So say it.
It's Phil Anschutz.
Oh, yeah.
He's worked his whole life for Phil Anschutz. I mean,
yeah, and there's all sorts of meetings across the state with different politicos, different talk radio hosts. You guys aren't included. I'm not included.
No.
I was at Phil Anschutz's house that I've heard about, and that's not surprising. So, hey, maybe I'll do like Rob Whitwer did, and after all this is done, I'll write a book and expose all this.
There you go.
And then resign from the Republican Party, like Rob Whitwer did.
You can't.
I probably won't do that. But
no. Well, meanwhile, this is the perfect opportunity, and let me get you to talk about this. ColoradoCitizenPress.com, right?
Yay.
That's the legitimate to me. The yes. source that you want to go to read yes. what's actually going on in conservative circles. And you know, you guys are involved with that, right? I know they're always doing articles about you guys and the kind of things that you're trying to do. And that I think.
Well, I'm not involved at all. I mean, there's times that I will submit like an anonymous.
Okay.
You know, anonymous tip to them. But other than that, like, no, I'm not involved with
it. Well, I guess I didn't mean to play. No,
I actually print it, I mean, to their credit. Like, I've done the same thing to other so-called conservative sites like Colorado Peak Politics. Or, you know, Complete Colorado, same deal. Nothing happens. Nothing goes forward. But with Colorado Citizen Press, if I submit an anonymous tip or I submit a tip and say, hey, my name's on this.
Right.
Typically, it gets printed.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm going to say this about you because I've worked
with.
Well, let me just finish.
Who controls Complete Colorado?
Well, the Independence Institute.
Who controls the Independence Institute?
Phil Anschutz. No. Oh, okay. Again. Well, quit asking Patrick, don't pay. Poor Patrick is going to be like, I'm not going to be on your show anymore because I see little red laser lights on my body right now. So here's my pitch for Colorado Citizen Press. If somebody is thinking about, you know, donating money or, you know, buying a sponsorship or something like that, go to Colorado Citizen Press because they give you the truth. And I'll say this about you, Patrick. I've never even had you say something, hey, I want this to be anonymous, right? If you're behind it, you're behind it, right? You say, here's the deal, here's how I feel, ask me about it, right? And, you know, there isn't any of the secrecy.
How's that in-state gambling doing?
Well, <it's>,
hey, table tennis is huge. You know, people really care about table tennis.
Let me ask you, because I know you had to get off fairly quickly now because you're
no, doing, I didn't. He's having
he,
a
no,
good
he
time.
Texted me, he did.
Oh,
he has, and he's going to get up quicker next time, Chuck. You know, so this is what they did to us this legislative session.
Oh.
And you know, it's only a matter of, you know, 6 months until they're back at it again. You would think they've run out of horrible, terrible,
no,
whack job
no,
for Jess Cross of things
no.
to do. What, I mean, what do we need to start gearing
no,
up?
No,
to,
don't do it to us, Julie. Don't do it to us. It's bad.
Oh, yeah, I mean, so that's the problem. Like, right, there's so many different horrible things they did. And the establishment Republicans say, well, Neville's fighting back too much.
What?
I shouldn't fight back. It's like,
yeah, yeah. Oh.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, that's the establishment for you. That's who we're fighting. And yeah, it's really disturbing, to say the least. But, you know, that's where
who
we're at.
Who is behind the Colorado Republican establishment?
Phil Anschutz. We're not going to get invited to his parties either, Chuck.
Well,
hey, Patrick.
I went to one.
Keep up the good work. Keep fighting.
Keep
okay?
fighting.
Those
keep
of
fighting.
Us out here, actually in Colorado, working families, you know, the working families that everybody claims to care so much about, we need you.
We do
so,
need you.
So,
you're great.
So
you're
thank
great.
You for what you do, and thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Patrick.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. You know, and he's, thank you, Patrick Neville there, House Minority Leader. He is very generous with his time, actually, he comes on. So, you know, they can transition here, I mean, because you've been kind of hitting it. So we saw a bizarre article. Well, the article wasn't bizarre. The action was bizarre in Colorado Citizen Press. I just want to talk about this a little bit because it goes to your kind of concept of, you know, Ted Trimpe, a Democrat writer, just said Republicans will win when they decide they want to win and they throw all of their efforts into winning and quit caring about who gets all of the credit. But that does not work for the Colorado Republican establishment side of
Ted,
the party.
Ted can tell you who controls the Colorado
right,
Republican
exactly.
establishment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know you've already said that. So
I didn't say Ted would tell you, but I did. He will tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, he knows.
He
That's
knows.
What he does. But the
who
thing,
does he work for with? Who does he work with?
Soros. Democracy Alliance? What? All right, just Chuck. Go ahead and
Phil
say.
Phil.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing that happened with Dave Williams, Representative, Dave Williams.
Representative.
Yeah, Dave Williams, who was another one of the good guys from down
yes,
in El Paso
yes.
County. And he was I think it's just a sort of a title. I don't think he had any real jobs, but he was sort of a Trump campaign surrogate.
Yeah, and they made lots of surrogates of
right,
people willing
just,
to help out. You know,
right, exactly. So he gets crossways with the establishment Republican people. He is endorsing Justin Everett, who is in a primary in El Paso County.
Who challenged, was his old seat till he ran for treasurer, and somebody named Colin, God, what's Colin's last name?
Who's
an establishment squish guy, although it's interesting, I went to his website. You would not know by looking at his website he's any different than Justin Everett. Second Amendment, incredibly strong. Personhood, strong, everything, incredibly conservative. But he's a squish, and he's always, as they say, reaching across the aisle to betray
and
the
Republican
Party.
And he's getting donations from Democrats, right?
From
Hillary
Clinton.
Hillary
Clinton supporters. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You got to ask yourself, why is that happening,
yeah,
right?
Why would that be?
So anyway, so Jefferson Thomas, who is the Trump campaign manager in Colorado, endorsed that guy, right?
Right.
Dave Williams endorsed Justin Everett, the other guy.
Who's been a friend of his for a long time.
Friend of his for a long time. Who was, and I get this, he was not a Trump supporter. He was opposed to Trump in the 2016
very
election.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't in the 2016. He was in the primary. When he and
no,
Cruz.
No, he did not.
No, he endorsed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Explain it. You're right. I'm sorry.
No, he was like Randy Corcoran. Randy Corcoran did not support Trump at the convention, although sometime after the convention, before the election, he became a big supporter. And same with Justin Everett. Colin, however, who in reality hates Trump and everything Trump stands for, but has on the public record been, oh, I love Trump. I just love him. Love that man. Love that man. And so Jefferson Thomas,
endorsed him. And using his Trump campaign title, Dave Williams used his Trump surrogate title and saying, I'm a Trump surrogate guy. I support Justin Everett. Well, Justin or Jefferson Thomas called and said, you're no longer a Trump surrogate guy. It's like, now,
he called, you know, he also called the Complete Colorado and give them a story.
It's like, so here again, you have, what is the establishment? First of all, it should be, okay, it seems to me if Jefferson Thomas can endorse somebody in that primary, right, and use his Trump title, well, Dave Williams ought to be able to endorse somebody in that primary and use his title. And here's the biggest problem I have with it. My guess would be that maybe Jefferson Thomas wasn't the judge in this case. He was the executioner.
No, maybe Jefferson Thomas takes orders.
Right, so somebody
told him. He doesn't give orders.
But this is my point to the Republican Party. That was stupid. It was, who cares, really? When you get right down to it, who cares? And all it did by trying to try to discredit Dave Williams, they end up making the entire Republican Party and Trump look stupid and look like they're infighting, which they are. So it's like, whoever thought of that, just knock it off, right? Vote for whoever you want. Listen to whoever you want with the endorsement. But I think Republicans have to stop this. We've seen them. They target other Republicans, and it's the establishment people. And, you know, you always say, well, I can't figure out why they're doing it. They're doing it for power. These people.
There's no power.
Well, they're doing it for the little bit of power they're clinging to, rather than actually field candidates who might actually be able to have real power in the legislature.
Or might have real theories, and they don't give up phony websites where they go, I'm really conservative.
Right.
But I won't tell you that.
And
I'm
so
squish.
That, I mean, yeah, it's like that's what's destroying the Colorado Republican Party.
Yes.
And these are people, these establishment people, would rather see the party destroyed. They would rather see Cory Gardner lose. They're the ones who told us, oh, you got to vote for Cory Gardner. Well, they would rather see Cory Gardner lose. They would rather see Trump lose than to give up one, you know, hair length of their power. And it's got to stop. I think it absolutely has to stop.
Let's bring Karen Catalina on, see what she thinks about all this.
Poor people, our listeners on Zoom, you're going to just get called on here. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Karen, you're not shy, huh? Please talk, Karen.
Please talk.
Please comment, Karen.
well, I was, just listening, but that's okay. No, I was looking at Caucus Room while I was listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Steve Howe's on Caucus Room?
It's just local updates, and there's like 10 from Steve Howe's. None from the person who actually get to vote for, not for, Casper Stockholm.
Yes, and they also control the posts.
Yes,
they control the posts. That was one of the reasons I stopped spending very much time there, because it is not a free and open site.
No.
When you go there, you know, they decide who gets to speak. Gee, it sounds like Google. Sounds like
Twitter. Colorado's own Google.
It's heartbreaking to see just how much Republicans sabotage other Republicans. That's very disturbing. And it's also that Republicans aren't standing up right now.
Right.
Other than Patrick and the minority leader in the Senate, you know, we have few and far between.
Well, you know, let me say this. For instance, you see, and nobody digs down and gets behind the hypocrisy. Google and Amazon applaud the Supreme Court decision on DACA, making it seem like they're so progressive. No, they don't care about that. What they care about is more H-1 visas, right? They care about open borders so they can have more people, you know, come in and work cheaply, right? So they could care less about Dreamers. If they cared about Dreamers, they would close the borders and give people and minority people and diverse people, they'd give them jobs. But instead, they don't.
They want to be paid.
Right. And the thing is you don't ever have Mitch McConnell stand up and say, hey, here's the thing. That's right, you know?
You know, and the other thing is that too many people give Republicans and even Democrats the benefit of the doubt by saying they're incompetent. They're not incompetent. They're corrupt.
Yes.
Most of them are corrupt.
Yes.
There is one thing that's kind of on my mind. I covered it on my show earlier. And that is, I'm going to make an uncharacteristic grouse about Donald Trump.
Okay.
Not him personally necessarily, but the campaign. It busts my chops that they are going to concede to this notion that you have to take people's temperatures and hand out masks at the Trump rally. That is conceding to a lie, or as I wrote in one of my pieces, don't comply with a lie, especially, I don't want my government, I don't want anybody taking my temperature.
Yeah, not rectally anyway. I mean, that's awful.
And you know, and here's, and first of all, I am skeptical anyway. I mean, I've been in a few establishments where they like take your temperature, like, oh, good, you're good to come in. I mean, you kind of got to wonder. I mean, these are not trained people. These are just, you know, some.
Stuck on 98.6.
Yeah, yeah.
You're good.
Some kid that they hired for the summer whose job it is.
Sorry, Mr. Trump, you can't come in. You're 99.
You're right, exactly.
You know, they're monitoring everything we write. When we write something that is critical of the government, gee, you have 101. You have to come with me.
Exactly. To the special room.
The special room, yeah.
Yes.
Because they don't want you to leave because you might infect other people. Oh, it is just a joke. We're going to talk after we talk with Tim McCormick coming up here in a second about AMC caving to the mob and not realizing the average customer doesn't care, or if they care, they'll wear a mask, right? The mob wants to destroy the economy. They want to destroy Trump. They just want to, like you said, they want to rule what you say and do. And this mask thing has become completely ridiculous.
Well, Karen is leading on that. And,
yeah.
And she's been great on
that. Well, I still think that it's the dividing line. I still think there are states now, even Republican states, that are saying that you have to wear a mask in public. This is just outrageous. What would I do? What would any of us do if they said you must wear a mask? It's like you have to put an X on your
forehead. Well, we've seen this happen, Karen.
It's that stupid.
We've seen this happen in history where they say certain people have to wear certain.
Oh, no, Karen pointed that out, and she was
now we're
totally trashed, and you know the Twitter.
Yes, I was called anti-Semitic for saying
that's right.
It feels like being forced to wear a yellow star on my chest. And
right.
Isn't it interesting that Eric Sonderman suddenly backed off? I invited him on one of my shows, and first he said, "Oh, I'm busy. Maybe another time." Then he said, "You know, I don't really want to. And by the way, you know, it never mind, because you're Jewish and you lost family in the Holocaust too." And he didn't say that, but I said, "You know, I'm Jewish. Some of my relatives didn't make it out of Vilna in Russia." And suddenly he was quiet about it after that. So these people are knee-jerk reactionaries. And you know what? If you make them that mad, you must be over the target.
Exactly. And I'm going to say, go one step further. It's not knee-jerk, Karen. It's a conspiracy, and it's a plan, and it's a strategy. They want to shut everybody up. It would be one thing with the masks. Even the World Health Organization, the CDC, acknowledges that masks are stupid and don't work.
That's this week. Then last week, they're great. Then there were no good. And Fauci, can we do something with Fauci?
Well, they can't get their story straight.
I mean, can we do something with Fauci in prison?
I love when Julie is even tougher than I am.
There you go.
Karen, we've got Tim McCormick coming up. You do a great show with BBS Radio also, Spouting Off. Tell folks where they can listen and where they can find you.
Go to KarenCataline.com. Karen, spelled the normal way. Yes, it is a punchline now. Cataline, spelled
the normal way of all you Karens.
K-A-R-E-N and K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. All of my stuff is there. More about me than you ever want to know. So tune in.
All right.
Thank you for chiming in when we randomly
selected you. We want to go see if we have Tim McCormick. I saw he had joined the waiting room. Tim, if you're there, go ahead. And what you need to do is unmute. Yeah, there we see you. We see you.
There he is.
So Tim had reached out to us, and I'm going to make this offer once again. If you're a candidate out there, Republican or Democrat, want to come on our show, we're happy to do it. I think that there are very limited opportunities these days with the media being what it is for any kind of candidate, get the word out that they're even in existence.
But Tim is running for DA of Adams County. The present DA has gotten caught up with extramarital trysts with dead wives and lots of other.
And they then go on to investigate.
And everything else. So if you win, you'll have a fun time cleaning that office, Dan. But why don't you tell everybody about yourself? And I think you're a prosecutor over in Jefferson County, as I vaguely remember.
I am. And can you hear me okay? We good?
Sure can.
Oh, very good. Chuck and Julie, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk with you guys about this today. Yes, I'm Tim McCormick. I'm running for district attorney for Adams and Broomfield County. It makes up the 17th judicial district. Broomfield County is roughly about 33.5 square miles. You got Adams County up around that 1,200 square miles. So it's a pretty big jurisdiction. I've been a prosecutor for 28 years. A little background: born in Great Falls, Montana. My dad worked for the federal government, so we moved around a little bit. I graduated from Grand Junction High School. I got my undergraduate degree in Colorado State University and my law degree at Creighton School of Law. We've raised our family in Adams County for the past 20 years. I practiced law in Wyoming and Colorado. And in those 28 years, I've aggressively prosecuted, convicted, and put away murderers, rapists, drug dealers, you know, people who sexually and physically assault our kids, and those who prey on our elderly. Now, I did work for this office for almost 17 years. I left there in 2016. I'm currently employed with the First Judicial District, which is Jefferson County and Gilpin. But like I said, we've lived here in Adams County for the past 20 years and running for district attorney.
How come? I mean, this is a wacky time and an intense and unsettled time for law enforcement. I mean, and then probably when you made your decision, it wasn't quite what it is. But what made you decide to want to seek the DA spot?
Well, great point. Yes, maybe about a year ago, it wasn't quite where we were at today. And of course, the interesting thing about this is that every time you wake up in the morning, right, you're like, okay, it can't get any weirder. It can't get any worse. And an hour later, it does. Yeah. And whatever, you know, the hot topic today is yesterday's news tomorrow. So right. It's very difficult to keep up and process all this. But I'm running for a lot of reasons. Number one, I was hired by Robert Grant, who was the DA back.
I went to law school with Bob.
Yeah. Okay, I was hired by Bob. He's a great personal friend, mentor. I have the utmost respect for him, and I was able to sit there and watch what he does in terms of running an office and how he took care of his community in terms of public safety. He got term limited, then Don Quick ran and became the district attorney. And Don gave me tremendous opportunities. He allowed me to be a chief trial deputy in that office. So in addition to not only trying complex, serious, violent, aggravated felony type cases, I was also able to manage many of the divisions in the office. As a matter of fact, by the time I was done there, I had managed, supervised every aspect of the office: administrative chief, district court chief, county court chief, under three different, very different set of circumstances, child victim unit chief, etc. I left there in 2016. There was a breakdown in communication with the now term limited DA, who's out there now. And the way he was running the office and the culture he created really wasn't what Don and Bob had
made. As I said, you mean like sleeping with his victim advocates? I'm just saying. You can't say that.
That's a perk of the office, isn't it? I thought DAs could always do that.
And then when they turn up dead, just as me.
That was unfortunate.
Well, and what I want to note on that is, you know, integrity and ethics mean an awful lot to me personally, and I think to our public service and in prosecutors. And then I'm out in Jefferson County with Pete Weir and Charles Tingle, the DA in 88. Just tremendous, phenomenal guys. But it brings up a point I want to, when you asked me about this, I'm the most experienced prosecutor, attorney, and criminal justice candidate in this race. And with my 28 years of experience, I want to bring back integrity, unbiased decision-making, and servant leadership back to the office of district attorney to work with and for my communities instead of the other way around. I make no bones about this. If you've been on my website or I'm out in public, it's been great. I've had a great opportunity to talk to a lot of people. I am a prosecutor. I'm not a politician. I figure all politics be left at the courthouse steps. When you go in there, the position of DA shouldn't be about politics, political opportunities, or a launching pad for political careers. And honestly, and just in the last, you can go 24, 48 hours all the way back to a year ago. We have these activist district attorneys out there.
Right.
That concerns me. I mean, it should be about who can best provide public safety for the residents of your community.
Well, you said You're already, you know, you're missing the boat here because you said you've put people in jail, murderers, rapists, child sex offenders, right? That's 2019, Tim, right? Now we just let those people go back into the community because we're privileged and they're not. And I mean, what do you think about, first let me ask you, the Atlanta DA, that what happened there?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
What are you, your thoughts on that?
Well, what I do, and with the current pandemic, right, with the health crisis, whatever you want to call it, I've had to expand my horizons on how to get to people. So Monday or Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings, I do a quick Tim safety tip live on Facebook. And we talked about that exactly yesterday. I talked to a lot of fellow prosecutors and a lot of folks in law enforcement, but when I heard that press conference, I literally fell out of my chair. If I had done something like that or any other normal prosecutor had done that, the Office of Attorney Regulation would have sent in their SWAT team and taken you out. So when you took it, you look at, every profession has their rules of professional responsibility. Lawyers, Chuck, no different, right? And you have the professional rules of ethics. So there's 3.6, trial publicity, and 3.8, special duties of a prosecutor. As I read through that and was listening, it was so astounding that I did. I hopped online. I pulled up those two rules, and you could almost mark off the violations. What he did is he tried that case in the court of public opinion worldwide.
Yes.
Absolutely unbelievable. I would never do that. And when I talk about running, because of integrity and unbiased decision making, those are rules that you have to comply with when you take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution, State of Colorado, and the United States Constitution. Part of your duties, rule of law, I stand for rule of law. I will absolutely defend the Constitution. I support the Second Amendment 100%. But part of that is giving due process and making sure that the defendant gets a fair trial. And,
yeah. What do you say? What do you say about people who say it's little more than a conviction machine? That defendants, after most of the judges are former prosecutors, endless Brady and Giglio violations, endless having snitches who aren't even in the same prison as someone claiming that they confessed to them. A lot of people have lost that a defendant has any rights really in the system anymore. It's a rigged system, really, and you have all the power. And the innocent people being convicted have little chance in a courtroom and a judicial system run amok. What do you say to those charges?
I can't speak for the whole of the prosecution community, okay? I'm telling you, in my 28 years experience, that's how I've operated. That's how I've trained and mentored and taught the attorneys that I go with. You bring up Brady violations, absolutely. Discovery, is always, it's kind of voluminous, right? You have to comply with Rule 16 for discovery. My philosophy, err on the side of caution, give them whatever they want. And, it's funny because, I teach or I taught attorneys and I practice this myself that, there is a difference between people who, make a mistake and that's how they get involved in the system versus those who routinely prey on your community. All right. I'll be flat out honest, evil exists. And when you see it, you can't ignore it. You got to confront it. You got to destroy it. And you have to take evil. They forfeited their right to live among us. And you have to do that. So when I told you about that, yes, that's my experience. Those people that I did like that, those are individuals who basically either forfeited their right by committing a homicide and they went to trial or sexually or physically assault our children. Drug dealers the same way. They're bringing in copious amounts of these narcotics. They're ruining the fabric, if you will, the foundation of our communities by getting these people addicted and not suffering a whole lot of consequences. But Chuck, I love what you said because I sometimes battle that when I go out and talk to folks and say, oh, you're just, you're a prosecutor and oh my God, you're a Republican and all you want to do is put people in jail. That can't be farther from the truth. Look, this is a human system, okay? It's run by humans, it's operated by humans. It's always worthy of looking at and talking about reform. I mean, we could talk about bail. I'd love to have meaningful conversations.
I want to ask you about bail. Let me interrupt you to do that because this is one of my favorite topics. Okay. There is this weird bail reform. Some I think is necessary, right? And it's one of these things that's kind of – on one hand, when they say it, it sounds so nice and it makes sense that it's not really fair that if you're poor and you get arrested, you have to stay in jail. But if you have money and you get arrested, you can bond out. I get that argument. But what I saw, because I covered crime in courts for 30 years, what I saw happening, particularly in Denver, but I think it's all over, is just automatically the defendants were given a PR bond by a judge, whether they were a flight risk, whether they were an American citizen,
here illegally,
whether they were on parole or on probation for another crime, right? And I mean, I saw case after case. Mitch Morrissey, he probably wouldn't say it now, but who was the Denver DA at the time, right, said, we argue about this, the DA's offices do all the time. And he said, judges are going to have blood on their hands. And I submit some of them already do. What is your position? I mean, to me, I know that's not your job, right? There's nothing you can do. But to me, that's making...
He's in charge of bail hearings and stuff.
Well, but in these cases, they don't even get a bail hearing. The judge just immediately releases them.
I know, but they do in Adams.
Well, I think a couple of things. And we can take a quick walk down the historical road, right? Now, I know several years ago, most of the jurisdictions, the chief judge would put together what's called a bond schedule.
Right.
So there wasn't much choice, right? I mean, you look at a class, you know, whatever, 3, 2, 1 misdemeanor, 6 all the way up to 1 felony, right? And you just would go over and like, this is how much it would be, right? And then it was incumbent upon the defendant to say, hey, can I have a PR bond or give assurances that they had structure, they had stability, you know, that they could do that. But, you know, a couple things. I'm for meaningful bond reform discussions. I am absolutely opposed to doing away with the whole cash bail system. I think we've seen in other states that it does not work. And with all due respect, here in the state of Colorado, when we had the public health crisis starting in March, right? There was, and it was good. I mean, I know there was a concerted effort between prosecutors, the courts, and the public defender, the Defense Bar Association, to identify those individuals that were nonviolent, property-related, little to no criminal history, had stability in the community, right? And go ahead and take the opportunity to give them a bond and put them on pretrial services, okay? Great. That was, what, 2 months ago, two and a half months ago. What I can tell you is that, unfortunately, I think what happened is that since there's so much of this going on, and what we've done now with the court system is really just postponed us and kicked it down the road. And I think that's a concern that everybody in the criminal justice system has, prosecution, courts, defense bar, because nothing's getting done. But obviously, some of these individuals who initially got that, surprise, didn't comply with bond, picked up new offenses, got another PR bond, a new offense. And so, you know, now we're when you get to that point, that's why I oppose the removal of any type of surety on there. It's not punishment. You know, a lot of the argument is, oh, well, you're punishing him because he can't afford it. No, my goal and obligation is to my community and public safety.
Right.
And right now, you've picked up 1, 2, 3, who knows how many, right, since your initial arrest, and you are now a community safety risk. You're a public safety risk, and, you know, that's the form of my argument, because you take into account there. You know, there's never been a prosecutor that stood in a courtroom and said, well, judge, you know, this person's, whatever, homeless or no criminal history, I want $100,000 cash bond. Doesn't work that way. You look at the criminal history, you look at their pretrial release report, and you gather all that information, and then you make a bond argument to the court.
But prosecutors are not perfect, and judges aren't perfect, and some prosecutors ask for lots of bail, others don't, so it really changes a lot. But let's go to your campaign itself. I mean, once you get into office, you want to be apolitical, but getting elected is not an apolitical process.
Right. Well, I'm very encouraged, and I'll tell you that, you know, we launched our campaign March of 2019. I thought I want to get out there and get started. And of course, this was all pre-health crisis and apparently one crisis after another, right? So I consider us to be kind of a grassroots thing. I mean, we're going out, we're meeting people, the word is spreading. I'm not overconfident by any stretch of the imagination.
Chuck, no, I wouldn't think so.
With all due respect, I know I'm running as a Republican. My personal, you know, beliefs align more with that. But the bottom line is, I believe it. Like I said, the Constitution. Everybody, you know, should be treated fairly and just, you know, to be able to do their thing, right? And yeah, there's times where it's kind of the red life raft in a blue ocean. But I think what I want to stress the most about my campaign, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at my endorsements, but I'm very fortunate to have them across the board. I've been unanimously endorsed by all the Fraternal Order of Police organizations within the jurisdiction. I don't want to leave anybody out. Westminster, Arvada, Brighton, Adams County Sheriff, North Glen, Commerce City, Thornton, Aurora, and Broomfield, as well as I just picked up a couple weeks ago, the state FOP endorsement.
Okay.
Bob Grant, former district attorney, longtime Democrat, now unaffiliated, he's endorsed us. Do you know Craig Truman?
Yeah.
Oh, I know Craig. Favorites. Yeah, he used to be, I know Craig real well.
I know.
Well, let me just.
Public defender and everything else.
Oh, yes, and I've covered him. Then I'll just go ahead and say this. Bob Grant, the same thing. But I have to say, Craig Truman, when I covered him, always struck me as somebody with complete integrity. There are a lot of endorsements, I think, that maybe I wouldn't pay particular attention to. But Craig Truman is one. If Craig Truman is endorsing you,
that's a good.
That says a lot. I would vote for you sort of on the basis of that alone. So.
Well, thank you. And I've known Craig, you know, he's very involved up here. I have tremendous amount of respect for him. And you said a very key word, integrity. The cases where him and I have had cases together, always above board. He's a tremendous lawyer. And the thing about it, you know, a case like that, from someone like that, you learn, right? You learn from him.
Yes.
I've had current Sheriff Jeff Schrader and Jeff Coe, Mike McIntosh, Doug Darr, former sheriff here in Adams.
Oh.
I've gotten mayors Ben Huseman and Jan Coleman from Thornton and Commerce City, respectively, and Richard Seymour, Lindsay Smith, Dave DeMott from Westminster,
sure,
Adam Mikowski,
on the city council,
and,
yeah.
So yeah, here's my take on that. Well, you know, in regards to that, the overriding theme that I've gotten through this is that they recognize that there needs to be a change in that office. There needs to be a change about how we do things. They're not satisfied. And when I go out and knock on doors, you know, it bothers me when people, you know, and of course it's unprecedented times. People are afraid and they sit there and they tell me, well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for me personally, my family, my community. Well, I think it's time to take that district attorney's office and return as the top priority public safety. And in order to do that, to have this, you know, for years, I've had collaborative efforts with law enforcement, the defense bar, support staff, victims of crime, the courthouse, and bring that collaboration back and actually go to your communities and say, what can I do? You know, what can I do for you? How can I help? Let's do that instead of the other way around the way it's been. Plus, I would just want to say, I don't know, you know, if you know it, but in the last couple of years alone, that office up there has undergone almost about a 75% employee turnover rate.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Lawyers, support staff, diversion, investigators. When you lose that kind of institutional knowledge, when you have developed that type of culture that causes that kind of, you know, mass exodus, that's a problem. Under the days of Bob Grant and even Don Quick, you know, that office was respected. It had credibility. It was revered. There are many offices in the district or in the state, right, the metro area, would call upon, you know, Bob or his management staff or Don and his management, hey, we need help. Can you give us somebody that knows what they're doing? And boom, you just don't see that happen anymore. And that bothers, that's a concern.
Well, I'm sure you paid some attention to the 2018 election.
Yes.
In which an outstanding sheriff, a great
all over
county
the country,
clerk.
No, all over no, the
no,
state,
no,
rather.
No, no, in Adams County.
Okay.
In Adams County. And up to almost the end, the Republicans were winning, and then came la deluge of the mail harvest ballots. They poured in, and every Republican lost. And that will happen again unless you can have your own ballot harvesting operation. If only one side does it, it's an inevitable loss. And your problem, of course, is that you don't get much help from the state, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, and that's a great point. I'm telling you this, okay? I'm working hard. My campaign folks are working hard. My wife is working incredibly hard.
That's the key. Get the wife working hard.
Absolutely. She She's managing the campaign. She's just done a phenomenal job. She's getting me out there. We're getting to areas where we can go. And like I said, back in March when this whole health crisis hit, I'm like, now what do I do, right?
Well, we've made
tremendous use of Facebook and social media platforms. But, you know, the variables I can't control, I can't. What I can control, I'm going to the wall on it and doing it because I think it's important. And you know, rather, if I can go out on an afternoon and let's say hit 100 homes, right? And by the time I get home, maybe I got 75 votes. That's perfect. Let's move on to the next neighborhood and go from there. And it's just getting the message out and talking to people.
You're not going to have a ballot harvesting operation.
Yeah, but
you can't. You almost can't.
And as far as the state GOP goes, you know, they've been decent, right? I didn't expect.
No, they haven't. Come on, tell us the truth. I haven't met a single candidate in Adams County who said, "Oh, they've been great to us. They've really helped us out enormously."
Don't let Chuck make
tell us the truth. You can tell us.
When I say they've helped me out, they've been supportive in the sense of good. You know, good for you. Good luck. We need people up there, and that's it. But that's fine. I kind of walked into this. You know, I've listened to you guys a long time for many years. A lot of folks on the radio station, stuff like that. I kind of know that. I knew what I'm walking into. But again, I want to go back and say that, you know, I'm a prosecutor, not a politician.
Right.
And to me, I'm always going to stand against violence, you know, mayhem, disorder. I figure every citizen in every community has the right to be safe in their home, workplace, not a city, and I'll defend that. And as a DA, I'm going to do the right thing every time and in every single case.
All right. You want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We've got, and this is not going to be an easy phone call because it never is. Barney, welcome back to the program. We've got Tim McCormick.
Okay.
He's running for DA here in Adams County.
Okay, he's not going to like my question, but first I got to tell you, Chuck, you were a good-looking dude in your younger day. Julie,
Wasn't I great-looking? That's what I keep on telling her. I wasn't always ugly. I wasn't always this ugly. You know, at one time I was okay.
Wait a minute. One of those pictures, you had a porn star mustache, Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Don't feel proud of that one, but that's a great little video. By the way, let me get to this guy, and then I got something to say about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, Mr. Guy running for district attorney, how do you feel about red flags? Let's just go with that.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, there's a good question.
That is, you know, and I appreciate that, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about it, all right? Number one, I would be the district attorney. I don't make the laws. I don't create the laws. The legislature makes the laws and enforces them. Okay. Now that number one.
Let him finish, Barney. Let him go.
Okay. I want you to know that, you know, personally, I don't agree with it. I'm hoping that it gets challenged because I do think it's unconstitutional. I do think that there's a violation of due process because when you look at that bill, the burden of proof, right? I mean, in a criminal case, it's always on the prosecution, me, the DA. Beyond a reasonable doubt. That bill takes it and flips it around and puts the burden on the person being accused, which is, I mean, any defense lawyer is going to be like, everybody's just confused about that. But I need you to understand something, okay? Whether or not I agree or disagree with a particular law, I am not in a position where I can, now, where I can sit there and say, well, I'm not going to prosecute a certain class of cases. But that goes back to our conversation, Chuck and Dooley, kind of near the beginning where I talk about these activist DAs. All of a sudden, they're coming out and go, well, the legislature made this a crime, but I'm not going to prosecute that. Well, wait a minute. What happened to your oath? So I think you said his name is Bernie. So, Bernie, I want you to know that I would.
How do you, in your clear conscience, prosecute something that you know damn well is unconstitutional? I know you have your duty and your prudential whatever duty, but how do you go after somebody? I mean, how do you in your with your conscience?
But the DAs are not really in charge. DAs are not in charge of prosecuting red flag.
Right. Keep that in mind. Now, Bernie, what I want you to know is right. We that's not a crime per se that a prosecutor goes in and actually prosecutes. However, you can, you know, a lot of times law enforcement, when they have to do one of those red flag warrants, they may call upon a DA to give advice and things like that. And certainly that's where the involvement would be. But the district attorney himself doesn't go to a courtroom and actually prosecute that.
I think, you know what? You just got to – I can't vote for you. I'm not in your district, but just
that felony, you know, 10 felonies you have. That's,
but, I don't care what kind of felony that you leave the black rifles alone. But I will say this, in Jefferson County, you got the butt clown Jake Lilly running and every one of his mailers. I'm going to take the guns and I'm going to shove red flag down everybody's throat. So
was,
there is a clear contract.
We know Jake
here.
Very well. We know Jake.
And he was
well.
Funded yeah. by Soros the last time around.
Yeah,
that
he,
should
he,
be
he was,
what a
he
butt
was,
clown.
He was funded by Soros immensely last time. And, you know, I mean, his experience level is not much. I know he likes to talk about how he was a great prosecutor and it currently works up in the fifth, I think. But, you know, there's a lot of concerns with him coming in and what he stands by. That's a very, you know, that's a heavy race, too. On that side, you have Alexis King and Jay Lilly on the Democratic primary side. And you got Matt Durkin on the Republican side. So
yeah, that'll be
well. You got Alexis King, and you can't. Yeah. You know, she's legit, and I don't think you could call her a hack or a butt clown or anything. She might be a little bit liberal, but she's definitely more qualified than that butt clown. But I hope I wasn't too hard on you.
No,
all right.
It was okay. And, thanks, Barney.
And so
wait a minute, Julie, Chuck. I guess Arnold Schwarzenegger won't be coming into your house because that turd won't go to the gym. Oh, my God, you guys don't have masks. How do you – I've never been impressed with – the dog in the Terminator was impressive. And you shouldn't make fun of the way people talk. But how do you take somebody with respect or any kind of a threat when they say, get the bomb in there, get down, get down.
It's an Austrian accent.
I can't take the guy serious.
Okay, Barney.
Anyway,
okay.
Love you guys.
All right, thank you, buddy. Thank you, Tim.
Tim, tell everybody how they can contribute to your campaign and help out if they would like to.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you both for having me on my website. Go to my website, McCormickForDA.com. That's spelled McCormack, Mac, not Mick, for FORDA.com. McCormickForDA.com. You can check out what I stand for, major case history. There's a video library on there if they wanted to get caught up on what I do. Join me Tuesday nights on Facebook for a Q&A with McCormick for DA. I go live and take questions. We talk about issues. Next Tuesday, we're going to talk a little bit about professional responsibility, Rule 3638 that we talked about with in regards to the Atlanta DA. Not to mention some of the other issues that he's got going on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and there's contact information. Anybody has any questions, they can call that number, send me an email. You'll talk to me, not a phone bank. Thank you both so much. For
you seem like a great candidate,
Tim. You got our
really,
vote. My vote. You
well,
got,
she's always giving out votes.
Well, I've listened to you guys for years. So this is a true pleasure for me. I'm very honored to get to talk to you face-to-face. Thank you very much.
Well, good
Thank
luck.
You, Tim.
Best
good
of luck, Tim.
Appreciate
good
it.
Luck. All right. Give us a holler anytime.
Okay, we'll do. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you to Tim and Pat Neville. That went fast. Do you want to real quick talk about Synergenix?
It's Synergenix. It's a way of getting back your life. Getting back your life. It did for Peter Boyles. It did for myself. Julie McCallum's a miracle worker.
Health-wise.
That's miracle workers often do it health-wise, but she's fantastic. You get through a whole regimen of diet and hormones and vitamins, all kinds of stuff. And she will talk to you personally. She'll give you a free consultation, gratis, not a penny. So give her a call, 720-387-3681. It'll be the happiest day you did that at Synergenix, Cenegenics.
All right. Hey, that is going to do it for us. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to Patrick. Thank you to Tim McCormick. He was great.
Oh, he was great.
He seemed very great. Thank you for Karen and everybody listening and to our great producers there at BBS Radio. Everyone have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. I didn't mean to surprise you like that.
Bye, guys.
Bye, Karen. Thank you.
You too. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye, Sandra. Bye, Angela.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I what happened was I dialed Patrick on line 3, and I got this woman. And she's, like, really loud. Like, oh, no, no, no. And I'm like, oh, gee, sorry, wrong number. And then I looked at the number. And by the way, that was a typo, that extra zero in there.
Oh, okay.
You did give me the right number. But then I dialed it again on line three. I get the lady again, and I said to my son, well, isn't that odd, because I checked and I ran to the computer, got the number. Right. It was the same number. I go, it was the same number. So I dialed it on line two and got them right away. And then my line three this entire time has been saying in use. So something weird is in there. I'm going to have to reset. We have multiple carriers.
Okay.
Like I'll use AT&T, Comcast, Phone Power, Grasshopper. I use four different ones. Right. But I do this for various reasons because it gives me redundancy, and if one provider, but that's what happened. Forgive me. It was not your fault. I'll edit that out so that little part doesn't even show up in the final edit.
I'm used to looking like an idiot, so.
Oh, no. I'll edit that. You just did fantastic. I want to let you also know real quick that, well, we had a mess. You know, we have six servers, actually seven. We have a little backup server, too. We've been in such a crazy time because of so much bandwidth being pulled off of our servers, like almost 200 terabytes in a month. It's just extreme. And with all the data and everything, what we've done is we've now hired a brand new team.
Okay.
We hired them last week. They are now moving everything over to the world servers in the Netherlands. This is a big move for us.
Yeah. Wow.
All of our servers off out of the U.S. Now, one reason, it's price. I mean, price and performance is infinitely better because we've used these people before. Worldstream.nl, if you want to look who they are. Worldstream.nl. They have the best prices in the world on performance servers. So we're within 2 weeks of switching everything over. We're going to have a system that'll be so fast. I mean, so fast that there'll be instant access to everything, including videos, audio, the downloads will take seconds. I mean, just thank, because we're moving over to the best server we could buy. Literally, this is, when you're paying about $2,000 a month for a server, trust me, it's going to be excellent.
Okay.
Right? And this is just one server, and we have several. So we're moving over the one main server, and we're going to then put more servers over into WorldStream and start getting rid of all of our U.S. servers. Just letting you know, that's coming. It's going to be a little bit weird over the next 7 days to a week. I don't know what that means, because they're going to be transferring so much core and all the data over to these servers. And we had to do it. We couldn't function in what we had. We had CentOS 7. It wasn't working for us. The databases are older. They all had to be updated. And so it's a
project.
Forgive us.
No, just so I know what to expect. So until that's done, then it's going to take you a little while to get the files to us. Is that?
No. Nothing will change as far as you're concerned.
Okay.
The only thing that this will happen is if you go to our website and it lags, or you see an error, or you're going to. This has been happening quite a bit to us, like Ajax errors, page not found, page can't be accessed, all sorts of errors. And we've eliminated most of them, kind of jerry-rigging it right now as we're moving everything over. So if you've experienced that, that's kind of what's going on. We apologize. All right, cool. But you shouldn't know. I mean, everything should work the same as far as you're concerned. Should.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Have a good weekend. We'll see you later.
I look forward to seeing you Monday. Have a wonderful weekend yourself. And Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you.
To you too.
Thank you.
Good point. Thank you.